We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back with you one more time, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We spent a good portion of this show looking ahead to the 2019 season is coming soon. It doesn't feel like it all the time, but camp will be coming soon, and we'll start to get some questions. Some answers are our big questions about the team. For now, we're going to turn our attention to looking at the individuals on the roster, and we've got, you know, we're working our way through numerically, so we've hit pockets of players, and in this particular pocket, we've got all tight ends, which I think is an interesting mix. You know, we started off this show, Greg, talking about 2020, like what happens after 2019? How does the depth chart play out? And at tight end, there are going to be some opportunities because Nick Bowers, who's your projected number two tight end, is going to move on. He'll be a fifth year senior this year. And you got two other tight ends who we'll talk about in just a moment, Zach Kuntz and Brenton Strange, who could duke it out to see who's the top sidekick to Pat Freiermuth. So you have a strength at tight end in 2019, and it has a chance to continue beyond 2019. So it's for the first time in a while, I think there's some genuine and sincere, realistic excitement about what the tight ends are doing at Penn State and where the depth chart stands. So let's start with Zach Kuntz, who... a tremendous athlete, Greg, from Camp Hill. We've seen him in a number of capacities. Yep. You could have seen him winning a state title in the, what was it, the 110 hurdles. He's somewhere around 6'7". I think they list him now around, I don't know, about 235 pounds. When it comes to being a dynamic pass catcher, he's got a lot of possibilities there. He's got a high ceiling there. The couple questions that, you know, we need to start getting answers to are his frame and how that fills out, because, you know, as you use him now, it's just hard to see him in a Big Ten football game with his hand in the dirt being asked to physically run block a 265-pound defensive end. It's just hard to see that. So
it still is, unfortunately. That's part of the problem he's going to have getting on the field this year, is that he has bulked up some, but I don't know if it's quite enough yet.
So that's something to discuss. And, you know, the ability to stay healthy, maybe that's part of the same dialogue, his frame and ability to stay healthy. So what I would say when it comes to his frame, and still more of a question than anything, is what comes first? Does he bulk up to 255 pounds, and does that get him on the field? Or as a coaching staff, are you saying, okay, this dude is 6'7", we know he's a little light, but we know he can use his hands very well, he's got some gifts in the receiving game, do we use him in an unconventional manner? Do we not really put him in a position to expose his weaknesses? Or do you have to wait for him to be prepared to play how you want your tight ends to play? That's going to be the crux of the issue with Zach Kuntz is, do they use him before he's, you know, technically big enough? Do you put him out in the slot, for example?
Exactly, and that's going to be a question I think Penn State's going to have to answer. And beyond that, is there a way to get him involved with any two tight end packages to make teams think, okay, we got Pat Freiermuth, who's obviously quick, big, athletic, and then you have Kuntz, who's big and athletic and quick. So obviously, anytime you put a 6'7 guy on the field, it changes the dynamics of things a little bit, because the other team's not going to have a 6'7 linebacker or safety or corner to match up with him. So the question then becomes, what ways can Ricky Ronnie scheme to get him on the field in maybe advantageous situations without telegraphing that, hey, we're on the goal line, let's put the 6'7 guy in and throw it up to him and hope he catches it? So that's going to be the thing they have to figure out. But I do like what, you know, he said he's done in the offseason with Jugs machine and with the blocking sled and all that. I think he's making steps in the right direction. I do wonder a little bit if, you know, he's still maybe a year away physically from being able to play a lot of snaps in the Big Ten.
Well, and I think it's these types of questions that you have. As we sit here the eve of the 2019 season, Zach Kuntz was never going to burn his red shirt as a freshman. We knew that. The bigger surprise was that Pat Freiermuth was able to not only make that case arriving pretty much around this time last summer.
Right.
You know, the odds of a freshman tight end playing a big role are pretty slim. The odds of a guy who didn't enroll in January playing a big role at that position, those are very, very slim odds. And Pat Freiermuth defied those because he, you know, by all intents and purposes, looks like a special player who maybe isn't even at Penn State for a fourth season.
Right.
I think it's that he could be that type of player. But he arrived the same recruiting class as Zach Kuntz did. Zach Kuntz arrived in January. Pat Freiermuth arrived in the summertime. Kuntz was clearly had the higher ceiling as a receiver, or so it would look. So now it's at the point where, as you flip ahead, before we see how his role unfolds and how the program feels about him and learn about how he's practicing and all that kind of stuff, you're not sure, you know, when Nick Bowers, who we'll touch on in just a second, you're not sure if Zach Kuntz is the automatic next man up at tight end. He still has to prove that.
Right. And I think that, you know, again, there's not a lot of depth there, but there's a lot of interesting candidates. And I hate to say this, but, you know, Nick Bowers has fought through injuries his whole career. There's no guarantee he's going to make a whole season without some injuries. I hate to say it, but I can't help but think
facts are facts. Right?
That, you know, he's had to fight through so much that it'd be unfortunate if something else popped up, but maybe it will. So anyway, you know, I don't know if it's Zach Kuntz who's at the top of that, you know, number three spot. I don't know if it's Brenton Strange or if it's somebody else, but he certainly will have a chance. All those guys will, to see the field this fall. So that really will just come down to who wins it in camp.
See the field this fall and stake their claim moving forward. So this is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking at the 2019 season. Our player profile series is coming, it's starting to wind down. We're looking at three players now, all tight ends. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Special buy one, get one free deal to explore through the end of June only. So time is running out. It's for the home opener against Idaho, the second game against Buffalo. You buy an RV through GoPSURV.com. You get a second one for free. Check it out before time runs out. But even then, still go check out GoPSURV.com and the tailgating experience that they can provide that's just different than anything else you can get when it comes to taking in a Penn State football weekend.
Yep.
You can go to GoPSURV.com or you can call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 to learn more. Nick Bowers, you mentioned the second half of last year, you started to really get a tangible feeling like Bowers was all the way back, that Penn State had, you know, an answer to a big depth question. You know, think about when we were sitting here last year, Greg, and before we knew what Pat Freiermuth was going to be all about, we didn't have any idea what was going to happen with this tight end depth chart.
Not at all.
We didn't know if it was going to be Jonathan Holland or Nick Bowers or somebody else or Zach Kuntz. It ended up being Pat Freiermuth. And, you know, the offense is in a much better place because of Pat Freiermuth's ability to get to campus and be ready to play early. It changed the complexion for last season. It changed the way that we are discussing the tight end depth chart now. Now you're talking about, okay, who's the number three as opposed to who's the number one. That's something I don't think Penn State fans should take for granted. So now Nick Bowers showed a little bit of promise. Wasn't the most highly coveted guy as a recruit in, what was it, 2015? He's one of the last handful of guys from the 15 recruiting class. Was committed to Pitt, flipped to Penn State, you know, he showed some promise, showed some potential. You know, the last thing I remember from him as a healthy guy, I remember that slow-mo dunk.
Yes.
Bowers jumped over somebody and dunked it. Wasn't that long after that he had a knee injury. And that, you know, essentially cost him, 2 years, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
So now he seems to be back in a place where he can play a significant role. I know we asked this question a little bit earlier in the show, but does that change how Penn State views the tight end and its offense? Is Bowers and is Freiermuth too good to not play these guys at the same time, to not use these guys in a different way than they've used tight ends before? Because you've never really had a really good second option.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as if when you look at what Ricky Ronnie's had to work with and what even Joe Moorhead had to work with, there was just never a chance to put two tight ends on the field at the same time and make that work. Now there is that opportunity. So I would be stunned if we don't see some two tight end sets from Penn State. Maybe not right away, because I don't know if that's something you want to put on tape before you get into the Big Ten schedule. So maybe you don't see it early on in the season, or maybe you only see it once or twice. But I wouldn't be surprised if we get the chance to see that maybe toward the end of the September at a more regular basis. And I know the fact is you have to take somebody off the court. I'm just watching that dunk now. That was pretty incredible. You have to take somebody off the field to be go to tight ends, and I get that. But I think it'd be totally worth it just simply for the fact that you now have the chance to throw something at teams that they've never seen you do before.
Well, and here's the beauty. Neither of these guys has a real liability in their game. This right. is not like having Mike Gesicki as your second tight end where you right. you can be pretty confident that this guy's not going to be a big factor in the running game.
Right.
You can do a lot of different stuff with these guys because I think they're both – obviously, Pat Freiermuth is at a little different level athletically and as a receiver. But Nick Bowers can do it all also. And so you can bring some more surprises to the table when you have two guys who are – either can be extensions of the offensive line or extensions of the wide receiver core. One more guy in this conversation, and oddly enough, Pat Freiermuth, our next player profile series next week, he'll lead that off. But Brenton Strange, the true freshman who arrived in January, came in, you know, as a recruit, he's listed at like 210 pounds. You right. don't really see him line up much with his hand in the dirt. And most, a majority of high school tight end prospects, you don't see that much film of that. But he came in and, you know, to your point earlier in the show, he seems to have exceeded some expectations, at least early in his career. And again, it kind of circles back to 2020. You don't expect to see much from Brenton Strange in 2019. Again, assuming good health for both Nick Bowers and Pat Freiermuth, we'll see it, you know, who would be next up if that weren't to be the case. But Brenton Strange, you know, he has a chance to throw his hat in the ring in 2020.
Yeah, definitely. I think he came to campus maybe a little bit more put together than I thought he would. And I think that could give him a chance to get into the mix there. You know, talked to Tyler Bowen not too long ago, Penn State's second year tight ends coach, and he basically said, look, this group is one of the better ones we've had. And he said he likes the balance. That was the word that jumped out to me, the balance of this group. And you kind of just hit on it. They have some guys who can do a little bit of everything. And while some of them may not have all of their game together just yet, you can see that they're right around the corner from doing so.
And by the way, along these lines, it seems like Tyler Bowen is pretty good at his job.
Yeah.
Not just as a recruiter, but actually somebody who can develop tight ends. That's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm sure we're not done talking about 2019 yet. Please continue to join us, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and download the Keystone Sports app. We'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.